Hi.
Hi.
We haven't done this. How long? It feels like weeks, I don't think that's correct. I think it's because we're late.
We are late. We've put it off. And honestly, I could have and should have come yesterday, but we had snow in our forecast.
Yeah, I know. Nothing's making sense. It was supposed to be sunny all day today, and it just looked like this sad, apocalyptic wasteland of winter.
Or what I call a beautiful day. It's also a couple of degrees colder than it was going to be.
Yeah,
so
I know.
It's just changing. And I don't drive in precipitation. And I know we don't get northern Canadian winters.
Yeah, but we get ice.
If there's ice or snow, I don't want to fuck with it.
Yeah, I get that. Well, we don't really have much experience.
Right.
This is a weird, cold year.
It's very cold, very early.
Very early. Yeah, this is like January weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want one day of snow.
I want one day of snow. See, that's the thing. It's like here in Texas, you just get winter, dogs. You just get winter with like no payoff. It's just cold and usually damp and just miserable. And like you don't even get any snows.
And I know some people really hate snow. And I get that because we've had few and far between. We've had like 3 days of snow.
Yeah.
And
real snow.
Real snow. And the third day you're like, okay, I get it.
That's how I always am. The only thing I hate about snow is the like three slush days afterwards of soggy earth.
Ugh.
And it's gross.
Like that snow on the side of the road that's like gray.
Yeah.
And it's dirty. Mm-hmm. It's very gross. I get why people say, oh, snow is disgusting. And I never got it until like you're an adult.
Yeah. It's gross when you have to look at it.
Yeah. It's the very visual representation of all the shit that's just flying around you don't normally
that
have
you don't
to look
see
at. But on to more pressing and more important matters. Something we did have, well, not we. Macy did
you
have.
You and I are engaged.
We have something very exciting and illegal to report. No, Macy had something very important happen here recently.
I did.
She went on a camping trip that we're going to hear a lot about later, hopefully.
Ridiculous.
But she was also asked a very important question.
Yeah. Yeah. No, even after being possessed by a ghost and taking it out on him, Hunter still put a ring on it.
Yay!
Yeah.
I remember last weekend when I was here, Hunter was helping me haul all the crap, the recording crap that, haul it back out to my car. And we had just talked about the whole situation with the bizarrety that was. And I said, so you still planning on it? And he goes like, yeah. And I was like, just, seeing if he goes out. He's like, nah. He's like, it's going to take more than that.
Good. Oh, yeah. Just, oh, no.
So we were all waiting. We didn't know what day it was going to be on.
Yeah. And I guess it's important to note that there's absolutely no cell service whatsoever. And so it's like once you're there, you have no contact with the outside world at all.
Y'all were in Beavers Bend, Oklahoma, yeah?
Yeah. Broken Bow.
Broken Bow.
Hocha Town.
Squanch territory.
Yeah, they do. They have those metal Sasquatches everywhere.
Yeah.
But no, it's super close to here. It's only like 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is out of this world beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was such a beautiful place so close to us.
It's magical. It's really magical. Speaking of breathtakingly beautiful, this ring.
It's beautiful.
You guys.
I love it. I love it a lot. I've always known, I don't just love diamonds.
Mm.
And it's not, I really can't tell you why. I think they're beautiful on other people.
Right.
But it's like, I didn't see me with one.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff with diamonds. There's a lot of unpleasantness with obtaining diamonds. And this is, what is this?
This is an aquamarine.
Aquamarine.
And it's not like it's my birthstone or anything. I really love aquamarine.
Mm-hmm. It matches your eyes, your eyeballs.
It's such a clean, cool stone,
it's iced tea stone.
Yeah, like something that I can look at and it's cooling to look at. And I've always loved rose gold, and the two together are just a really interesting combination, and I love it.
And it's very antique looking.
It is,
or not antique, vintage.
It's like Victorian looking, and it's one of those things. And I'm a sucker for design, and not minimalist design.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I am, but when it comes to like jewelry or things like that, I like antiquity.
Yes.
And this
has... I also think that jewelry is almost not worth wearing unless it's a statement.
Yes. You know, so. I really do. And what it really boils down to is that I want to look at it and know that someone really designed this. And that's what it looks like. It's just, there was thought put into it and it's just perfect.
It's great. I love it. It's great. Tell us the story.
Okay, well, there's a precursor to that story. The camping trip got off to a rough start.
You guys, I have been waiting on this story since this whole thing went down. I asked her, I said, so how did it happen? How did he do it? You know, whatever. And she just was like, I want to talk about it on the podcast because there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it's so, oh my God. So this is also the origin story of where my cold came from that I'm still trying to get rid of, which is probably why I sound weird. I feel like I don't sound normal. So anyway, it is not forecasted to rain. That's important in this story. So it's this beautiful evening, and it had been like 70 degrees with like a cool breeze over the river.
It was supposed to be real nice.
It was nice. Well, yeah, it was supposed to be nice until Monday, and we got there Saturday, early Saturday. So we had all day. So we get there, and, you know, we've set up. And our campsite's really beautiful. It's like this outer loop that the sites are huge and it's right on the river. Mm. And so we're all set up. We're all excited, you know, and the dogs are all... We found that they are not good camping dogs.
The corgis?
The very high maintenance corgis, surprise, get very stressed out in camping. And so anyway, night, you know, rolls around and it gets cooler in the evenings. It was probably in the 40s, I guess, at nighttime. So we had a fire going and stuff. And Hunter, before it was too dark, because he's practical, was like, let's put the rain fly on. Like, you know, you never want to not have it. And it's covered. Everything's covered. Everything's correct. And so we don't think anything else about it. And I had made this inside of the tent super cozy. And so we go to sleep. Early, because it's camping. So, I mean, it's like 8:30. And, you know, because what else do you do in a tent? Like, you do, I mean, it's like it's dark and you set up all day. It's like, all right, well, I guess we follow nature's clock and just go to bed. Yeah. It's amazing how fast that happens.
Yeah.
Like, when you're not, like, in an RV where you still have, like, modern tent. When you just go to bed with the sun, we were tired at, like, 7:30.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's kind of like we talked about with the Crystal Palace. Like, when you take the lights away, the artificial light, it starts producing melatonin. And it was during the time change. So it was getting dark at like 4:30.
So your bodies are just like, I guess we sleep now.
I guess we sleep. So we go to sleep. And I start hearing like soft rain on the tent. Mm. So I like nudge Hunter and I'm like, hey, is this going to be a problem? Yeah, like, and he was like, no, it's fine. And so it's like starts to like rain. And it's like a substantial rain, you know, I'm like, this is unexpected. So I like wake him up again. I'm like, hey, it's like raining kind of decent.
Is it a problem now?
Is this, you know, and he was like, nah, it's fine. Okay. So then I start feeling like mist on my face.
Oh shit. In the tent.
And so I like wake him up and he had felt it too, but he was just laying there in misery knowing of what had to happen. And so we were like, let's just try to see if we can move the air mattress. Maybe it's just running down and dripping a little bit. Okay. So we like move the air mattress. Mind you, it is like 1 a.m. in the morning.
Oh.
And it's probably like 41 degrees outside.
Oh.
It starts raining in the tent everywhere. Full blown.
How?
I don't know. I don't know. And so it was, I mean, like, not just like a little bit, like we had a lantern and it was just literally raining in the tent. The bedding's getting wet. Gizzy's wet. Like, she's sitting in her kennel with like her spiky wet hair looking furious at me.
Miserable.
And our clothes, like it's dripping on our clothes that we packed. Everything is wet. And so Hunter had brought, because he thinks about this shit, and he had brought two tarps. He was like, I'm going to have to put these tarps over this tent at 2 in the morning. And so he gets out, and the site is, like, flooded.
Oh, no.
And I'm frantically inside trying to cover. I have rain jackets, and I'm trying to cover everything salvageable with rain jackets, like our clothes that were already wet. And, like, I had to have another one. I put her over the dog kennel. I put Dinah and Gizzy together. And, like, they were wet. And it stunk like dog that was damp in a tent. And it already smelled like tent. And then it smelled like wet people. I tried to, like, get already ruined wet clothes and, like, wipe it across the ceiling to try to soak up the water. And so, I shit you not, we had to miserably lay down and sleep in damp bedding. In a stinky tent. That was damp. In 41 degree weather. It was hell.
I hate it. I hate it.
It was hell. So we wake up the next morning and miraculously most of the water outside had run away. The sun starts to rise and it starts warming up. It's another like 70 degree day. So I string up clotheslines and hang out our blankets.
Like a prairie woman.
Like a prairie woman. It felt kind of good. Started a fire and I started like moving things close and away from the fire to dry them out. Like Hunter's boots got soaking wet. But like his good pair, you know, was like just left in the rain. They were just pots of water. We recover well. Like, the tent's dried out, we air it out, I mop it all out, change the bedding, get it all done. I mean, it's like it never happened. But we did only sleep 3 hours. And so I don't think I ever truly recovered from that, like, the whole experience. Because that was how it started. But after that, it was an amazing trip. It really was as good as it could get. Wonderful, wonderful trip.
Did it not ever rain like that again?
No.
Good.
It didn't rain again until Monday. And that was just like this beautiful, misty mountain mist. It was beautiful. But we had one other thing happen. And I've chuckled about it all week. And I can't stop. And it was this little boy said the funniest thing. We had the corgis on like a lead. And so they were sitting with us, and they were ridiculous when anyone walked by. Like, it just, and dogs especially, you know, they just
get out of our campsite.
They have no camp experience. This is ground zero camp experience. These two little boys show up, and like, they all want to pet the dogs. And we're like, yeah, of course, you can pet the dogs. And it's like a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. And like, the 6-year-old's like all over Gizzy. And they have like this 4-year-old, very serious little boy. Oh. And I thought he was cute. Like, and so he was sitting there, and he was just kind of like watching, observing in kind of his own way. And like, the mom was, and I were talking, you know, and she was like, are they like two different kinds of corgis? And, you know, I said, yeah, you know, yada, yada. And then he, out of nowhere, had said nothing else in the most matter-of-fact, like, Poindexter-y voice, and I know one of them's blind!
No!
And I couldn't, I'm just... And the mom was like, oh, no, no.
Blind.
What? She told us, she was like, we literally, like, just met a blind dog. Like, because he thinks they're all, I don't know. But it was so out of the blue, and he left, and I could not, we were both just like, what? And just so matter of fact, like, so matter, almost like Sheldon Cooper matter of fact. And I know one of them's blind, but with like a Forrest Gumpy at the end, it was adorable. It's a residual one. It would just sit with me, and I would just be making a fire and be like, what?
One of them's blind.
It's so cute. And so Sunday, we went on like a hike. Gizzy somehow, big gal, she did like a 3-mile mountain hike.
Oh no.
We didn't know it was gonna be that long, and like,
how did she handle it?
Incredibly.
Huh.
I mean, she loves it. She's made for the rocks and the like the rock, because they're that, they have like the lowest center of gravity in the world. They're not gonna break a leg. I mean, they have no legs to snap. So, I mean, it's like they're really tailor-made for rocky environments.
Just slithering around.
Yeah, I mean, they're excellent. And, like, Gizzy's like a little tractor, man. Like, if you're down in a valley, she'll just pull you out. She's so strong. Like,
she is 100% muscle.
Well, I know. And that's the thing. It's like people see her and they'll be like, she's fat. It's like, no, she's not. Like, when she shaved.
She's a beefcake.
When she shaved, she's a tank. And I love it. And I had to carry her up a hill like 40 yards and I felt like I was going to faint. And so that was like our hiking experience. By the time we got back, Gizzy was like one step, breathe for about 3 seconds, like one more. She was barely making it, but Dinah was like, let's go. Let's
yeah.
go fucking go. We got more to go, guys.
Do it again.
We got daylight left. But Monday was this misty day. Good, like Tolkien-esque mist. It was beautiful. Also that, and it looked just like a river runs through it. Like, just beautiful, misty, cool. It wasn't cold, like, cool weather.
Yeah.
We go driving around because the park is humongous and there's all these different things. And the guys had apparently figured out all these back roads.
Yeah.
We took the Subaru through, like, some flooding, you know, and, like, get to break in the cross track. And it worked. We parked in this beautiful cliff face. It's like you park at the base of this cliff face along this like limestoney blue river. and trees are growing on the cliff. It's just, it's picturesque mm-hmm. in every way. It's just beautiful. We just start walking the riverbed, and I'm taking some pictures because it's, like, so stupid pretty. I can't even believe it. I'm, like, rock digging, like, not, like, just digging around because the rocks there are very interesting. And, mm-hmm. like, they're, like, shale but, like, crisscrossed with quartz ribbons. It's yeah. really cool. So my back's to Hunter, and so we're walking, like, back out of there. And he was quiet for several minutes before this. And, but he, like, very normally, like, asked. He was like, hey, like, did you find a stone you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
And then he and
see
I said,
where it's going.
Well, and like he said, well, like, oh, what about this one? Yeah. And so he assumed the knee down.
Did he? Position. Oh, were you already turned around and looking at him, yeah. or did you turn around and he was?
I
like...
I turned around and he lowered.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
Did what went through your head when you like?
Well, actually, what I said, I turned around and went, what? Like, I think it was that level of, like,
what?
Because here's the reason. I kind of wondered if it was coming. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a secret. We've lived together for 2.5 years. We've been together yeah. for 3 years. We talk about it. You
openly.
Know?
I mean, you
yeah,
know.
Like, we even talked about, oh, next fall would probably be a good time. Yeah. Like, so I thought it was coming, but, like, there really just never was a good opportunity because like on the hike, it was called Lookout Mountain. And he mm-hmm. thought we were going to eventually reach this peak that had like, well, that there wasn't a lookout. It was just called that. And so the hike didn't have a good opportunity. So he just walked around with it in like his breast pocket mm-hmm. for like days. And, but he waited on the day in which I had not showered in probably 3 days.
Oh yeah.
I was wearing his sweatpants, which I am much smaller than he is. Tucked into boots from Goodwill that were white snow boots.
Oh, yeah.
And a large oversized flannel, and I'm damp. That's when he did it. That's, he waited for that. And so that's when I was like, I doubt it'll be today. And that's when it was. So I'm actually very glad that it was just between us and there was no photographers, nothing like that.
Do you think he woke up and he was like, she's reached peak grossness. Today is the day.
Today is the day.
I love it. I love the his little line.
I thought it was precious.
That's very cute.
He's so tired of telling that story.
Is he
and
really?
Like, it's yeah. mainly been me who's had to tell it, and I think it's cute. Everyone thinks
it's adorable.
Cute.
Yeah, it's really good. We're just damn proud. We're just damn happy for you.
Damn happy.
Damn happy. Damn ass happy.
I like that.
The fun starts now.
Joining the Marred Woman's Club.
Yes. Hang out with us old biddies, drinking hot toddies and knitting sweaters.
I already am an old biddy.
I love it.
At heart.
You're going to fit right in.
You do know, though, that this means that you are my maid of honor. Yeah.
She hasn't said that to me yet.
No,
I didn't
I
know if it was going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course.
Good.
Well, shit, fuck yeah.
Well, shit, fuck yeah.
Ass hell yes.
Well, fuck shit stack.
I'm sure we're going to keep you guys... nice and updated.
Yeah.
We're gonna do probably a lot of talking about it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a little untraditional. It's going to be a very loose, mm-hmm. woodsy, but also traditional, making it untraditional.
Yeah.
If I can, it'll make sense when it's all, but very whimsical.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be fun. I'm excited. I'm going to do it on the cheap.
Yeah.
It's going to be in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be very cool. And I'm excited to decorate the place and throw. I love to throw
oh, yeah.
parties.
Yeah.
So really, it's just an excuse for me to dress up pretty and throw a big party.
Yeah.
Because anytime you throw a party, you wish you could wear like a fucking
a big gown.
Yeah. And now I get to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tacky, but it's me. And I'm going to wear like some elegant sort of crop top wedding dress.
I love
I'm
it.
I'm dead serious.
No, I love it.
They make some really beautiful two-piece
yeah,
ones.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all I wear. So I
so
feel
why
like
is this
on
day
the,
any different?
Yeah, why is that
put
day
it
any different?
Real fancy.
Yeah.
Jewels
yeah.
encrusted.
Yeah.
I think it'll be cute. I think it'll be boho, and I think
it'll
it be
will.
Woodland.
I
want to
be barefoot. Yeah, and I think for our honeymoon, we're going to.
Yeah.
We want to. It's going to be. We want to get like a. Like micro campers, the ones that are only like 12 feet long.
Yeah.
But they've gotten so good with it. Like you have a queen size bed. Kitchen, oven,
mm-hmm.
small closet,
mm-hmm.
table, bathroom, shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you can get them for cheap. And so we want to get one of those and then take it. And like, I would love to take like 2 weeks, maybe
yeah.
like longer,
mm-hmm.
and do like Antelope Canyon, Zion, Yellowstone.
Yeah. I love it. I'm so ready. This was, I think the whole planning process, and I think you're a little bit like this too. I love planning things. Like,
I like to plan things like this.
Put things together.
I don't plan my life on a daily, like, no. I don't do a plan. Like, people have planners and stuff. No. I can't do that.
I have a date book, but that's only because I will forget to breathe if I don't write things down. no, but I love to put parties together.
I do too. It's such a fun time, mm-hmm. and I can't wait to be able to do that here. Yeah. And with it being so small, too, I think it's probably only going to be, like, less than 50 people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and something small. Gonna be a potluck.
Yeah.
You know, some, and that's old school. Like, oh, that's, yeah. It's one of those things that I was thinking about, you know, it's like, that's how it used to be done. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'll roll with it. Yeah. Like, you know, it'll work.
Well, I mean, it's like
kind of old harvest time. I'm kind of like in a very pagan-y way. Yeah. Like, you know, I think back to those like Lamas mm-hmm. festivals, and everybody would bring things.
A community celebration.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, I'm super excited. It'll be fun to plan. It's going to be whimsical as fuck.
Yes. Jeez. Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
I think anybody out there who is following Miss Macy Anise over on Instagram.
Insta.
Has seen her ring and the location, which are both beautiful. Make your way over there. Check it out.
Look at it.
Look at it. That's at Macy Anise.
At Macy Anise.
Thank you, Macy Anise.
You're welcome.
That reminds me.
It's the Patreon shout-outs.
Fuck me.
Patreon shout-out segment. Time.
I got in there.
You get in there. I know. And this is for Miss Ashley Osborne.
Mrs. Ashley Osborne.
Super sweet gal.
Thank you.
Ashley Osborne. But no, seriously, I went to college with her and she's a sorority sister.
I did not know that.
An absolute doll.
Hey, hey.
Sweetheart.
Well, thank you, Ashley. We appreciate the support.
Thank you so much, Ashley. You're the cutest.
Mace, we got to get to our topics.
Give them something to talk about.
I was going to say, let's get it started. And
oh, wow.
Anyone who is like an OG Sims fan remembers there was a Simlish version of that song on the PlayStation game, The Herbs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, with a Z, like urban.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It was
remember.
The Sims, and they had a version of that song, but it was in Simlish, so it was like, flim, flam, flim, flink, oak, and bow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was very weird.
That's very weird. I like it, though. I like it a lot.
And if I remember correctly, it was actually the Black Eyed Peas, so, like, I just love to think of them in the studio just saying these nonsense words. But I think that I am really very excited for my topic.
Oh, you think so?
I think I'm very excited. God damn it. I'm really excited.
You have to leave that.
I'm gonna leave it.
Good.
God damn it. It is the first in a segment, I don't know, a series that I'm starting. I'm going to talk about, in depth, some gods and goddesses. Give them a little time.
Yeah. I'm going to buckle up. I'm in, like, I have my snacks.
You could make an argument that this person, entity, is not necessarily a god. And I didn't really know that. I'll get into why later, but I will be talking about the Green Man today. And I think it's appropriate to start with him as... He's so much more ancient than I had thought.
Cool.
Why I think he is super interesting is, first of all, he's the first one that's kind of called to me.
I remember you said that, like, way back.
Way early.
Way when you and I were first getting into this. You said, I feel like I've just been really drawn to the Green Man.
I have, and I still am. And we've made no bones about the fact that we're essentially agnostic pagans. Mm-hmm. And that's true, you know, but the fact that, I mean, just look at the fact that we believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
That does, you know, we do believe in things that are not
entities.
Us. Entities, right? So call it what you will. I saw a plaque somebody made of him, and I was just scrolling through the internet, looking at, like, Etsy, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. And I saw this Green Man plaque, and I just, this is probably so silly because it was like a commercial thing. Like, it's mm-hmm. an object that someone made, but I just saw it and I was like, I just had this feeling of, like, warmth, love, and, like, protection, and just, like, this, like, almost like I know this person.
Mm.
Every time I see images of him, I just get that kind of same feeling. And I'm like, I need to look more into you. And I'm very glad I did, because it is so wild.
Okay, cool.
It is so wild. And you know how we like things that pop up in different cultures?
Oh, yes.
This is almost
those are my favorite.
The Green Man has been popping up in every single known culture. Every single known culture. Every single culture had some kind of representation of him, but it dates back before we can comprehend.
He was an alien.
A man, dude, probably. What's interesting about him is people started seeing him carved mostly onto, as like an ornamental, like a decoration, right? Cool. He'd be carved on into stone on the side of buildings. Or a lot of churches have physical or have representations of the Green Man, like in their stained glass or something.
Okay.
I've read that most churches actually do somewhere. And it's kind of become like the, what is it? It's also in every church. The Egg of Life.
Oh, I don't know.
Not the Tree of Life, but I believe it's the Egg of Life. It's one of those like sacred geometry things. Most churches have like a egg of life like somewhere in them. You know, it's almost like a Illuminati like thing or something. Yeah. Yours is better. He's represented as usually a face, sometimes a full body, but mostly just a face made of leaves and plants and sometimes like fruits and vegetables. And sometimes he even has his mouth open and there's like, it sounds creepy, but it's not. Sometimes there's like foliage coming like from his mouth, not like in a barf way, but just like it's like sprouting from him. Lots and lots of churches have had this, and what I really love here is neo-Gothic Victorian architecture also had a strong fondness for the Green Man, which is maybe like why I like him so much. Maybe I've seen him before and he's like just like imprinted
subliminally like,
into
in
my mind, because I love the whole Victorian like neo-Gothic style. But once you hear this, I started looking at like photos of churches and other buildings where he's been like snuck in, and I'm going to keep an eye out now
because I
figure
cool. I will too.
You're going to find him everywhere.
It's like Waldo, but
yeah,
he's like green and in churches.
He's like an earth pagan Waldo. He did not get the name Green Man until 1939, which is
super delayed,
super recent. So it's thought that because he's so old, there's no direct biography on who he
is. Right, yeah.
So he's kind of more of an idea.
Okay.
Than an actual entity. Or like an actual, like, assigned personality. It is thought that he is the male counterpart to Gaia. Or possibly even the male version of Gaia. You know, earth and nature and everything else, which I really like. No matter what name he goes by or has gone by, that's kind of what it boils down to, is he's the male, masculine earth energy.
Yeah.
You know.
He's Papa Earth.
He's Papa Earth. He's Daddy Dirt. He is closely related to a lot of current gods, nature gods, tree gods that we see, but he's especially closely related to Sironius, Pan, Dionysus, thank you, Humbaba, and Enkidu. And I only say this to show that he's come from all of these different backgrounds, but especially that last one, Enkidu, is 3000 BC.
Wow.
So it could be argued that he predates something by 3000 BC. We're talking fucking ancient. He has kind of come together from all of these things that he's related to, and he's sprung into a direction of tree worship, specifically trees. He's always been a symbol of fertility, death, and rebirth. No matter what culture he came from, he was always a symbol of fertility, death, and rebirth.
It's like the goddess.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the god. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you want to put it just as straightforward as it can be. That's what he is. Which is so interesting to me. Because normally you get into looking at these guys, I mean, just like gods and goddesses, and they're very secular. They're very particular about what school of thought they go along with and what they do and what they represent. And he's kind of just like, I'm the earth. I'm everything.
It's like Tom Bombadil.
Actually, dude, I've got something for you in a second. Good. God damn it. You beat me. Today, many pagans see him as a variant of the horned god. So if you're familiar with him.
I've heard that comparison before.
Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like a variant of the horned god, which is somebody I will talk about in the future on this series. And he's just overall a symbol of nature and the cycle of growth in paganism. I say in paganism because he is all over Christian churches and Catholic churches and stuff like that. But sometimes he's depicted as evil.
Okay.
Which was real dodgy to me when I was reading this, because for so long and from so many places, he's this symbol of like life and, you know, whatever. And then like a few places, he's depicted as evil with like horns and everything.
Oh, wow.
And some people actually interpret this as these old ancient churches that have these carvings of somebody wanted to include like a visual representation of the threat of paganism.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
How we were, you know, it got to the point where like bad, everything about it was bad, you know. So they took this widely known and accepted pagan entity and they
vilified it.
Exactly. And then they slapped it right up there on their church, you know. Other people think that the versions of him that are not like vilified and made evil in churches, they think that they're a little secret act of faith, possibly, by the people who were building it and putting the church together. Maybe even an act of defiance, because sometimes as pagans were being more forced, I guess, into religions that they didn't necessarily want to go along with, they would do these little secretive acts of defiance.
Yeah, it's like hiding the runes in the architecture.
Exactly, like that, or planting yew trees. So there are a lot of churches that had yew trees planted in them, and yew trees are highly tied to paganism, you know, so it was kind of like a little secret, like, F you, you know. His image has inspired many, many popular cultural icons, including Tom Bombadil.
There you go. I had no idea.
If you are a deep cut OG LOTR fan, you appreciate that. And if you're not, I'm not going to go into it because that's like,
it's a wild
ride. It's like 17 chapters. Okay. So yeah, he may not be like a god in the way that we view it. You know, he may not be a named god, but he's definitely an idea of a god, or even arguably the idea of God in general, which I really appreciate.
He's definitely an entity.
He's an entity, for sure. And I think that he's something that has appeared in a physical way before, because all of these places have depicted him in a very strikingly similar way.
That's like Whisperers. That's what that book's premise was, like, maybe we shouldn't just be like, oh, that's a coincidence. And maybe, like, we should be like, what if they were really writing what they saw? Like,
I like the theory that he might have been like an alien, ancient alien.
I am so all about. I know, I understand that parts of Ancient Aliens, the TV show, get a little out there. Fuck you, George Tsoukalos, or whatever your name is.
Aliens. Is he that guy?
ancient alien theory, I so absolutely think is real.
That's one of those things that I believe so heavily that it's like, when I hear people say things like, oh, you know, if this theory is correct, I'm like, wait, what if?
And what do
you
mean?
I thought this was like,
isn't there enough evidence?
And I want to sum my whole little Green Man segment up with a quote from Mike Harding. And this was beautiful and it spoke to my bones, to my soul. He said, if anything on this poisoned planet gives us hope of renewal, it is this simple folate head that has been there in one form or another since the beginning.
I like
and
that.
I thought that was very nice. Mm-hmm. So there's my Green Man. There's it's one of those things that there's so much to, but it's also very simple at the same time.
Are you going to be doing these consecutively or just peppering the?
I'm going to pepper them in.
Okay, because we got a coincidence.
Oh no! What are we doing?
So this is actually a double coincidence. Oh, kind of interesting.
You're doing Tom Bombadil.
So not only am I continuing on my chakra series.
Oh yay!
I'm doing the heart chakra or the green chakra.
Nice.
So we're green. I'm gonna give you some chakra action.
Disturbingly deep eye contact. Chakra action.
Chakra action.
Something like Tech N9ne would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. He basically does. Chakras are all ignited. And all right. So let's just dive on in. So I kind of structured it similarly to when I did the solar plexus. Couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Sorry. My cold is muddying my brain. Okay. So like kind of some just like simple about things for it. So like kind of crash course 101, heart chakra. Its Sanskrit name is Anahata.
Mm.
I think that's how you say it. You know, of course, it's known to bring love, beauty, compassion into your life, or that's kind of what it dictates, what it controls. And it's the fourth chakra. They count from the bottom. And it's located in the center of your chest, not actually over your heart. And the traditional cover is green. However, it said when it's highly activated, it's pink, which is kind of where the legend, like the pink heart comes from, apparently. Huh. That's like all in pop culture, pink hearts. Its symbol, you know, all of the chakras have different symbols. It is two intersecting triangles, essentially kind of creating a Star of David type. Mm. thing with a circle around it and 12 petals. Its element is air.
Huh.
Yeah, which I'll expand on that later. It's one of those things for like, I found other information later and it's like, you know, yeah. It's heavily tied to the thymus gland, which is really important for regulating your hormones, which is really important for regulating your sanity. So that's really important. And it's very important in the regulation of the immune system, apparently.
Oh, really?
That was kind of a surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Some functions of the heart chakra. So, of course, self-love and love for others, relationships, awareness and insight, just kind of about yourself and matters of the heart, things like that. Self-transformation, grief, recovery and peace. You know, of course, a lot of that's going to have to get processed through that energy center. Forgiveness and acceptance.
Hmm.
Feelings of connection with others and the just the earth in general. Feeling very connected. Hmm. Limitation of the ego. And heart-centered discernment. So it's in the center of the chest. And it's, but you have to remember, it's like a three-dimensional thing. So it comes kind of through your spine and kind of out through your chest. Like
really?
It's this, or yeah, chakras are like centered.
I always
like
think
spherical.
Of them so tiny, like a little tiny.
Well, and it depends, like if you're, no, they're supposed to be decently sized, and one that's very activated can be huge. Like like how Donna Eden, the energy medicine author, you know, she'll say some of them can just be these massive fields of, you know, just when everything's activated, your energy field can be big. And because of this, where it's located, it is tied really heavily to the cardiac system and the lungs, hence the element air.
Oh.
Yeah, they rely heavily on oxygen to function properly. And so that's kind of where that air element comes in.
Huh.
So the meaning of the symbol, the two triangles and like the little, the petals around. So the triangles are the air element symbol, you know, and so.
Right.
And they represent the union of opposites.
Mm.
So whether it be male and female or spirit and matter, you know, just like this union of spirit and earth.
Cool.
Yeah, this harmonious joining, it highlights the function of the heart chakra as the center of like connection and integration, you know. But an open heart chakra allows one, you know, to live from the heart, to live in that more connected emotional type of way to
where we all want to be,
where you want to be, and it allows for you to really walk in the shoes of others. Because when your ego's dialed back and when you feel, you know, you're living compassionately, you don't judge so quickly. You know, you don't feel the need to when you're that way, when you just are who you are and you're okay with all of that, and everyone's okay with being who they are. And it's an attitude that is getting less and less common, I'm afraid.
Yep.
In today's environment. So yeah, you can kind of walk in the shoes of others and understand differences and can just compassionately accept those and things for what they are. And it also supplies this almost like a lens of beauty, you know, because when you are content and you feel good and like you're seeing and accepting the world for how it is, the world just looks like a more beautiful place.
I'm thinking like a very almost like a Vaseline lens in a movie.
Yeah, it's just
kind
warm.
Of like that hazy, happy, high kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, and we've all been in these phases in our lives, you know, to where you feel this way. And it's how I feel and felt in the peak of summer. When I was just like my most me.
Mm-hmm.
that's how I feel. I just like almost feel like I lead through my chest.
Yeah.
And like when I was reading this, I was like, I know exactly what that means. Yeah. So it allows this, you know, this, you can have this beautiful world. Things are just typically more fulfilling and relationships run deeper.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, when everything's activated and everything's how it should be opened up. And it also, and this makes sense when you think about it, it connects the energies of the solar plexus and the throat chakra. So your third and your fifth.
Hmm.
And if you think about it, it makes sense. You know, in order for your heart chakra to be activated, you need to love yourself.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like that you can't love until you learn to love yourself. And I think that is so true.
Absolutely.
And so once you have that and you love yourself and you've activated your heart chakra, your throat chakra is just being able to express it.
Right.
And express yourself.
Because
once you know who you are, it's then time to become you, you know? And so I was like, I was reading that and I was like, that makes sense to me. So they it connects the two together and they kind of become this conglomeration when they work together. All right. So now the not very fun stuff. So signs of a closed, clogged, or unbalanced heart chakra.
Clogged.
Being overly defensive.
Oh, yeah.
Isolation, reclusiveness, holding grudges, or if you just can't forgive, you can't find it in you to forgive someone, feeling closed down or just like a void, empty, jealousy or like just fear of intimacy, codependence, excessive need to please or have others' attention or approval, and feeling like a victim.
Huh.
Yeah. So like those are kind of some classic ways to where if your heart chakra is closed down, you might notice that you like you've just kind of gained this perspective, you know, and like I've noticed for different kind of chakras that are closed and I need to work on, you just kind of notice it over time.
Yeah.
And you're just like, man, these last like couple months, I just feel shitty. And you'll like figure it and then, you know, you can work on it. And so these are like little things that you might be picking up on them. You might need to do some heart chakra work.
Yeah.
So simple ways to reopen it. I like to do everyday stuff. So, you know, not, it's tough when you work a long work day and then it's like, all right, now gather all of your materials, meditate for an hour and
have
like,
a huge ritual.
It's really hard to do and we will put it off sometimes. You know I do. And, so breathing exercises is one. It's great because I mean, if it's the air element, it's tied to it, but also just breathing in general just really does allow for that clarity and calmness to work through things. Cultivate your appreciation for the beauty around you. Even if you have to remind yourself, even if you have to be like, take a look around for a second and realize that it's actually a pretty special place that we live, you know, that this world that we live in, and it's easy to forget and take it for granted.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Do some self-care.
I am an advocate.
I'm such an advocate for self-care. Love yourself. Treat your mind and body to a rose oil bath.
Baby!
So I'll expand on rose oil here shortly.
Baby!
I love rose oil. I love rose oil. It's so good. I could just drink it.
I could live in it and breathe it and drink it and eat it all day long.
I love it. Cultivate self-compassion. It's really important.
That's a toughie. I feel like a lot of people are going to struggle with the act of forgiving themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard one because we don't even realize we're not doing it.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Particularly for your body and your emotions.
Mm.
It's incredible sometimes how hard that can be. But I think it just takes a little bit of thought sometimes. And I know that seems like an easy solution. I know that's helped me a lot. Just really meditating on who you are.
Yeah.
You kind of put things in file cabinets. You kind of organize things. And then once you can, you know, you've turned like this messy, cluttered garage into this organized space that you can actually kind of look around in and figure out, who am I?
Right.
And it's really liberating. And so, I mean, I really do. I think that's important just to kind of think about, just meditate on it. That's a huge one for me.
I actually got a little piece of advice from my counselor once upon a time who said to something that you already do. If you don't create a whole brand new routine, you may not stop with it, but you know, something that you already do every single day. And for me at the time when I was better about it, it was like my skincare, like sitting down and like really getting into skincare. She's like, find something you do every day and take a chunk of that and force yourself to compliment yourself. And that sounds cheesy. Maybe not even compliment yourself, but just think of something that you like about you.
Yeah.
Or even take time to say thank you to yourself for something. Made a huge difference.
Really?
It made a huge difference. And it's something that when I, even now, like when I feel down, I'll kind of stop and I'll be like, what did I do good that I can not for 2 seconds not be down on myself about for? Like, what can I do and be like, thank you for doing that for you, not for somebody else. Yeah. What did I do for me? And thank yourself for it. And then that's cheesy.
But it worked. I mean, that's that self-care. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's starting to become more and more realized that it is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not machines. We're not, you know? And, like, take some time to figure yourself out. Thank yourself. Understand who you are and be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you can't change everything. And be all right with it. And I think that's very important in order for this... for this chakra to flow and be activated, because it's your center for this. And if you can't do it for yourself, it's not going to be able to grow and do it for others.
Flaws and all.
Flaws and all.
Flaws and all sounds like a medication you hear.
Flaws and all. It does.
Flask your doctor about flaws and all.
Engage in activities that feed the heart. And this varies from person to person. Mm-hmm. You know, things that when you do them, you just feel very fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Try and receive if you're normally a gift giver. And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're normally like a receiver and you don't give more gifts.
Right.
You know, try to mix it up a little bit because it's a different set of emotions. And, you know, just the art of giving and receiving gifts is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of awakens that center a little bit.
I love giving gifts.
I do too.
I love giving gifts.
I'm so bad at receiving them.
I'm so awkward.
I am too. I'm so awkward. But I love to give gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Express gratitude. Even if it's just simply in the silent appreciation of others in your life, just thinking it, or for life itself. Think of the little things that you're blessed with that make your life just a little easier, better.
Hmm.
And you don't have to say it out loud if you don't want to, but just kind of when you have, just ponder whenever you're feeling that way, just be like, here's what I have going for me, you know, and here's why I'm lucky, or here are the people that matter, and think about it.
Gratitude lists.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got an extra 5 seconds, pop down 3 things that you're thankful for, and I think it really makes you go, oh, shit.
You do. You realize that it's not so bad.
Yeah.
So some metaphysical things that you can do, some tools for your metaphysical tool chest.
Yay.
So here are some stones and crystals. So green calcite, which I love calcite, green tourmaline, and jade.
Jade!
I love jade.
I love jade.
And, of course, well-known... rose quartz.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, rose quartz is really big for compassion and love. And it's that pink, you know, for the activated heart chakra.
Oh, nice.
As well as, of course, clear quartz. But clear quartz has its hands in everything.
So right, yeah.
Like, you can just, like, add that one every single time. And many other green or pink stones.
Right.
Yeah.
And green and pink also just look good together.
Yeah, it takes me back to junior high when, like, lime green and hot pink was all the rage.
Oh, my God.
My bedroom was lime green and hot pink.
It was.
Like, the wall was...
That's right. You had that polka dot blanket.
Yeah. So, incense and oils that you can do. So, if you're, like... one to get ritualistic, like
always.
Get you some jade or some rose quartz or quartz or whatever and scatter it all around you and like get some incense going. Like, we're going to get you fixed.
Mm.
Okay, so some scents, of course, rose oil, which I read and I didn't know this and I'm going to look into this, that it has the highest spiritual frequency of all oils.
I've read that.
Didn't know that.
Mm.
And I love it. Rose oil is also very expensive.
Yeah, genuine rose oil.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because that goes back to those terpenes and things like that. You know, the full effect, if you want it to have the, like, the mental effects and the physiological effects that it has, essential oils are important.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a little bit of a splurge, but it also might reconnect your whole compassion center.
Exactly.
So, you know, but there's some others. There's a neroli, which I wasn't super familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Which neroli is a natural tranquilizer, mild,
whoa,
but it's good to kind of calm the nerves and things like that. Melissa, I didn't know.
It's just some chick named Melissa. Yeah, just call her up. Love yourself.
Call her up. She's like a good drunk friend. She'll make you feel great. Melissa, it's a high emotional frequency.
Oh.
Our old friend Marjoram.
Hey.
Lemon.
Really?
Which I noticed that many of these scents are like a lemony or kind of citrusy. So that seems to be kind of a motif for these heart-related scents. Lemon, and it lemon like lifts confusion. Apparently you can kind of, which if you, it reminds me of, you know, in Hitchhiker's Guide, the lemon helmet, like it gives you clarity. That's yeah. what it reminds me of.
Huh.
Yarrow, which is good for intuition.
Yarrow.
Eucalyptus. Openness and freedom. Just very cool. Lively.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
And then it just keeps going. You have jasmine, which I love jasmine. Chamomile, which of course is known to be very soothing. And lavender.
Oh,
which lavender
good
is
old buddy lavender.
Universal for all chakras.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it really is. Really? Yeah, it is universal for all chakras. It's amazing.
Rose and lavender together.
Oh.
And jasmine, too.
Oh.
Those three, baby.
They're great. You
smell like a love house, which is not a prostitution ring.
Love shack.
You smell like a love shack.
So, other ways to heal, you know, so say you want to get all that, you get your crystals and you get your oils together and you get like some candles lit and you're going to fix yourself. You're going to be like, I'm going to get this heart chakra open and ready and like good to go.
Every okay. time you say open heart chakra, I'm like, open heart surgery is what I'm
just
thinking.
Just break your chest open. We know this. This is nothing new. This is old news, but I'm a big advocate for guided meditations. Mm. There's some incredible visualizations. God damn. There are some incredible visualization, like, guided meditations that clear out your chakras and, like, make it happen. And if you really get into it and focus, you feel, oh my gosh, it's so intense. Mm. It's so intense. And so I really recommend those a lot. Those help me work through some shit. Journaling. Well, it really helps just to write things out. Really just vent if you want to.
In get ways it out. You don't even imagine.
It's bizarre, man. But it does. It really, really works. Yoga is a big one. There's different poses that you can do. And this is not just for the heart chakra, but for all chakras that kind of open and activate and align your chakras. Work on finding yourself. And that's a broad statement for a hard task.
Yeah.
But think on it. Think on the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. And I had to do it at one point, and it took a while, but over time, because I needed to, you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Work on your solar plexus and throat chakras as well, and activities that engage those, because they do all work with each other. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like, that does make sense how the heart chakra is about, like, combining things and, like, making things work together. And I like how it's making the two closest to it work together.
Yeah. It's just like this cool. buddy. It's just like, all right, guys, we're going to work together. And this is probably the hardest one. Know that it does get better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does. And even when you don't think that it can.
Yeah.
It does. And that's something that I've experienced in my own personal life. You know, I had to, at one point, completely rebuild my personality from scratch after it was chipped apart piece by piece over a year or so by this asshole. And so you remember, you know, when you hit that part, when you hit that stage that you're just like, ugh. I don't even feel like a person. Yeah. Like, I don't even know who I am.
How could this get better?
Yeah. Like, I don't even know where to begin because I don't even feel like a living thing. Mm-hmm. It just takes one step at a time and you work your way through it and you learn who you are. And I don't think that I would have been able to be who I am now if I wouldn't have first learned. I had to rebuild myself and learn who I was.
Right.
That's really important. And I think that's important for people, especially if you're getting out of, I consider to be an abusive relationship, you have to fix, you have to repair yourself first.
Yeah.
And I think because it's easier to run to someone else to find comfort because it is, I mean, it's a lonely, sad, empty time.
Yeah. And you want to be told by someone else that it's okay.
Yeah.
You want to hear all these things from another person and it's hard to think that you need to hear that from yourself first.
Yeah.
Or else cycles are just repeat themselves.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you do. You start doing things that you know, that you used to, yeah, almost. Or
you,
things...
You remember what you love again.
Yes, yeah, you do. And you realize what it feels like to be yourself. And yeah, so I really wanted to include that, to know that it is fixable. Mm. It's absolutely fixable.
And the important part there, I think, you know, is you already said it, but like even when you don't think it is. Even, and especially when you don't, yeah, think it is.
Even when you don't think that it's something that can be done and you don't even know how to start,
yeah,
or where to begin, just pick one of these things, mm-hmm, whether it be a meditation or journaling, which I think is an excellent way to get started, because
even if you suck at journaling,
you will find just... that your hands start being able to speak better than you can, mm-hmm, and you can read it and then understand it and work your way through it. And just pick one and start working at it. Mm-hmm. Mine was doing things out of my comfort zone. I went out with some people that I wouldn't normally go out with, had this crazy adventure with, you know, people I'd never met before. Mm. And it was when I was still in college in Arkansas. And I did things like that. I started getting out and trying, yeah, to do things. And, you know, you discover yourself. Mm. And everybody has a self to discover. And you feel really good when you do.
The first time you catch yourself without trying to force yourself to say something nice about yourself, but the first time you catch yourself having that thought of like, I'm pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds real cheesy.
No, I know.
But like, you're just like, you know, I'm a cool cat.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It is. And it becomes easier to do, mm-hmm, once you start. So anyway, that's the heart chakra. It's very important.
Oh, lovely.
So work on loving yourself, everyone. It's very, very crucial and necessary.
And necessary.
And you should just do it. Focus on yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Get you some rose oil.
Take yourself a rose bath. Put some petals in there in the water.
Ooh.
Get some salts and some candles. Mm. Get yourself a bath bomb.
Oh, boy.
Make a date out of it. Go on a date with yourself.
Go on a date with yourself.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kind of find out how cool you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you are following along with our 30-day Magical Roots Challenge, you can work a lot of that in. This week, grounding in particular could be a form of self-care.
Oh, yeah.
You can make a lot of different things a form of self-care, because when you ground, and we're going to get into it here in a moment, you can make it personal and you can make it about yourself.
Mine's,
you
know, very personal.
Really?
I just shut my eyes and just feel it happen.
Yeah.
I know that sounds lazy.
No.
But it's like, I'll just shut my eyes and my, just everything, mm-hmm, I'll just like feel it through my shoulder blades, yeah, especially if I'm barefoot outside.
Yeah. That's the only way that I like to ground.
Mm-hmm.
My first experience with grounding was actually when I started working for a massage place that I was at. And one of the girls I worked with suggested we go out and ground. And I was like, yeah, sure. I know what that is, mm-hmm, you know. And we went outside and she just kicked her shoes off and she just kind of, you could just tell, you know, you could just tell what she was doing. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's what this is. I was like, I've been doing this forever. Like just going out and, mm-hmm, the feeling of that earth under your feet and, mm-hmm, just kind of letting it take from you what it needs to take from you and what you don't need anymore is something that I think is inherent in a lot of people.
But I always feel like it gives a lot too.
Really?
For me, like I feel like it's a transference.
Mm.
Like I'm usually when I ground, I feel like it, I'm just filled with like this, it's like a confidence, mm-hmm, almost, but it's but like an exuberance too, because really? It like takes all the noise, the static, and I just feel very good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And
I get that.
Yeah.
Mine is kind of a clean feeling.
Mm.
When I ground, I take my shoes off and I do the thing where you just grow roots.
Yeah.
You know, you just feel, and it's not that I know some people like to actually picture themselves, like their bodies kind of going into the ground. I just think of just my energy, mm, you know, and that's what's kind of reaching out. And I think of the earth as taking the things that I no longer need. And I feel like it's a motherly presence kind of taking it. And, almost having that, like, that it's okay kind of thing. And then I feel replenished from, like, top down, like, from the ether, from the universe, from cosmos, whatever. That's what I feel like I'm replaced with, like, this just, like, stardust energy that's, mm-hmm, like, neutral with a, slant of good, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just ready to accept good things, and it's ready to, like, ward off bad things, and that's how I like to ground.
Cool.
And I've done a lot of that this week. Our three were divination, grounding, and centering, mm-hmm. and breath work. So I did practice divination this week in a way that I haven't in a while. I did some coal gazing when we lit our fire out on the back patio. Clark and I, we had a really interesting little experience where we'd been lighting fires because it's been colder out at night. And there was one night last Saturday where we were just up real late and we didn't feel like going to bed, and just kind of, you know, you're up and you're not, you're like, I guess I should go to bed.
No, I don't feel like
it.
Like.
Yeah, I know you don't know. But it was like 2 a.m. and God, we were just not feeling it. And we're making going to bed noises, and neither of us want to be there. And
you're making go to bed noises?
Have you never heard that phrase?
No.
I mean, the actual phrase is making going home noises. Ew. And it's when somebody's over and they're just kind of like,
well, all right. You know?
And they're like grabbing their keys off the table, and it's like, okay, they're gearing up to go. That means they're making going home noises. So we were making going to bed noises. I feel like that's something that, like, my dad always said, but might, like, not actually,
a real phrase?
Might not actually be a real thing. So we weren't wanting to go to bed. And my husband just goes, I kind of want to go light that fire and just sit by it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we went out and we started the fire, and it was 2 a.m. And it was one of those situations where we didn't talk.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just next to each other, and we were just looking at the fire.
Those are nice.
I was just looking at the coals, and I remember just thinking, like, this is a perfect time. Let's do it. Let's do it right now. You know, I'm ready and I'm open to it. And I just gazed at the fire, and I didn't see anything in particular, but I just had this feeling of, like, you're back, and it's okay. It's okay that you were gone so long.
Yeah.
Is what I felt. And that was kind of what I needed to hear at the time. Because when you're away for something like that for so long, I feel that is so connected to the other world and to other spirits and stuff like that. I feel like these are people, or
well,
they're
entities. Well, and I feel like they're usually that way with me. They're usually very understanding.
Well, I'm always very, I'm nervous. Like,
I am too.
Like, I'm screwing up. I feel guilty. And just to have that, like, it's all right. You're here, and that's okay. And just come back. And that was really nice, and I needed that.
I too rekindled with divination a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I did it in a different way than I normally do. Part of the way that I like to read my runes is also the problem in why I don't very often. Mm-hmm. And it's because I like to make a ceremony out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I like to set the scene and clear the energy and really connect with them. And I mean, reading for me can take hours. And, you know, but the thing is I can't do that very often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my job is very technical. And sometimes when I get home, it's like, I just don't have that in me. And so I just, I don't do it very often. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing a daily draw, something simple that I can do just to start reconnecting with them. And I carry it in my pocket all day,
mm-hmm.
and connect with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing that, and it's been really interesting. And it's like, it's having this bit of strength.
Yeah.
You know, all of them that I've pulled have been very applicable, and none of them have been inverted.
Mm.
So it's been really good. And so I've started doing that, and it feels really good. Mm. And I feel like I'm visiting with my friends again.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. This is what I was hoping this whole thing would do, is really kind of bring that back. And there is one that I struggled with. Which was the centering and the breath work. The little blurb about it says, spend 5 minutes today and every day this challenge focusing on your breath. Notice your breath as it enters and leaves your body. Try alternating between, this kind of made me laugh. I don't know if there's people who can do this without trying, but it says, try alternating breath between your left and your right nostril. Use your finger if you need help. Can anybody out there, like, voluntarily do that? That seems like insane control over your body. I really tried to make it more than it was, I think.
That seems to get you
a lot.
It
gets me a lot, is I overanalyze things, and I think everything has to be this big production, and it has to be this big mystical moment, and I had a hard time with it, and I'm pretty excited to continue trying it throughout this challenge, because I failed at it.
See, I had an easy time with it, but I also had an easy setting. I did it on one of the prettiest days in Brokenville.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was walking the dogs, And I was on like a road, but nobody else was on it. And it was just like this little road that wound through these trees. And so you just see into forest both ways and you don't hear a sound and you see animals. And
nice.
And I was just walking and I was just breathing and centering and breathing and centering. And I just remember being like, oh my God,
like, this is it.
This is so good. And it felt so, so good. So yeah, I was able to check all three. I was proud of myself because I was like, I hope I can do this and go on vacation. But luckily, these topics were easy.
Yeah, for sure. These are ones, and these are also ones that we're supposed to kind of, I guess, be doing every day.
Yeah.
We had a comment from over on Patreon where we're posting the challenge for people to kind of keep up with this and chat with us about. This is from Kim. She says, one of my friends taught me this grounding technique called the five things. And you basically pay attention to five senses, whatever you're feeling, smelling, tasting, hearing, and seeing. She says this is not emotional feelings. This is how you get sucked back from the loop that your mind goes on when you do have like severe anxiety disorders or OCDs, where you're just OCD, where you're just ruminating and you can't get out of the loop. This helps kind of pull you out. She says, here's an example. I feel the sandals on my feet. I smell the stuff I just sprayed into my shoes that kind of smells like citronella. I taste the dark chocolate I just ate. I hear the cat's water fountain and I see the computer screen in front of me. And you just kind of keep doing that. You're finding five things about your five senses, and it rescues your brain from whatever it rescues you from whatever your brain insists on harassing you with. And that really, really, really works. And I never thought about using that as a grounding technique. But it kind of breaks you out of that. For somebody who can't get into the zone, can't get into feeling the earth's energies pulling out of your body and stuff like that, it kind of helps slow your mind down. So thank you, Kim, for sharing that with
us. She always is full of nuggets of good information.
She's full of so much good stuff. Like, she should take our place. Do you want to hit us with our next three?
These are fun ones. I'm excited about this.
I accidentally read number four here, but I don't know the other ones.
I'm only just reading them now. Woohoo. And I'm excited about them.
Give them to me.
So the next three that we're going to be talking about on the next episode, one of them is intentions. So doing some intention work. I love intention work. I think intention is everything.
Intention is everything, man.
So whether it's like a manifestation ritual, which I love a manifestation ritual.
Oh, baby.
Something like that, but clear, you know, just like a clear intent, something to move forward with.
Okay.
The next one is energy work.
Oh, baby.
I love me some energy work. Really. Again. By Energy Medicine by Donna Eden. Cannot say it enough.
We'll link it in the description box.
And the description in this one actually starts out with the classic, rub your hands together, and once they're warm, hold them 6 inches apart.
Oh, yeah.
Push and pull and feel the energy build. You know, even if that's where you're starting, start there. And day six, and this is something that I don't do and I need to, especially with being like empathic and kind of a little bit, shielding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So day six is working on shielding. Especially after being possessed by a ghost. I think this is something that I could do. I need to do this. So yeah, those are the next ones. That's what's coming.
All right. And if you are interested in doing the 30 Days Magical Roots Challenge, that is from Plentiful Earth. And if you want to join us in our discussions about it, we do have that going on over on patreon.com/WBAH podcast. If you want to hit us up with some emails, we are WBAHpodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @WitchBitchAmateurHour. Get us on Twitter @BitchHour.
Bitch.
Facebook @WitchAmateurHour. P.O. Box 865 Canton, Texas 75103.
And as a mild request in these early days, if you do send us a letter, let me know, because I don't check it every day.
Handwritten letters are actual magic.
It is magic.
It's actual magic. And when we hopefully, if we do get any, I want to like make a board of all of them.
Oh my God, yes.
And like frame them. Yes. And just, I don't know, it would just be great to see, you know, little doodles and sketches from you guys. And Mace Watt,
yeah,
read us our review.
We got a review.
I don't know why I mouthed that,
but you knew what I was gonna do. I saw on my breath. I like reading these because it just feels like we are egomaniacs. Okay.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Their name is Millie. 714.
I'm a young money.
What did you say? A Millie.
Okay.
I'm a venereal disease like a menstrual bleed.
No, Wheezy, that's not what that's a venereal disease is.
You don't know how women work. So Millie714 said, "You ladies are amazing. And I just want to say thank you for sharing your knowledge and spirits with us. Give them a listen. You will not be disappointed."
Thank you, Millie.
Thank you,
Millie.
714.
But really, thank you. That's very sweet. We hope that we're not a disappointment.
I don't want to be a disappointment. Millie714 says we are not disappointing.
Macy, we have something very exciting going on.
So we have our very first.
Very first.
First annual gift exchange.
It is.
Yule gift exchange.
Yule gift exchange. This is the Great Witch Switch of 2018.
Great name.
That name was provided to us from the fantastic Corey Bowling. Thank you very much. Because we were being boring and just calling it like the Yule gift exchange. Full stop.
So thank you, sir. We needed your help greatly.
That was wonderful. And also thanks again to Kim for the idea. We are aiming, we would like everyone to have their gifts in the mail to be delivered on or before December 21st, which is Yule this year. The last day to RSVP for this, to get your name in, is November 28th. Our gift budget is $25, so nobody goes broke.
Yep. So there's the option to make a wish list, which you can if you mm-hmm. want. I personally don't want to. I want it to be a piece of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would really love that. I'll love it, whatever yeah. it is. I'm going to be flattered if it is a box of used tissues. The fact that somebody...
Well, now you're going to get it.
The fact that somebody actually is doing this is just crazy to me. I love it so much. I'm so happy.
And then I have to hand it to my husband. Again, you guys over on Facebook have seen this. He said that... our tagline should be like, sign up and you'll get a gift.
I saw that. He's such a cutie.
Or you'll make someone's Yule. He was very excited because I put that on Facebook. I said I had to hand it to him for coming up with that. And somebody commented, he's going to make a great dad with those jokes. So please join us for that. We're going to have a good ass time. We do encourage creativity.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a crafty person.
Or if you want to, like, put a piece of your hometown or,
yeah.
you know, just, like, a little piece of your universe.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
put it in a box. I think
you know, and
great.
Let's make it the Great Witch Switch. I'm so excited. So, yeah, on the 28th, the names will be drawn for each other, and it will email you and, you know, keep up with it and all that. And do that 30-day challenge with us.
It's fun, guys.
It sounds like sounds like we're making going home noises.
Join our Facebook coven.
Please, join our Facebook coven.
It's a good time.
It is a good time. you know, I was really blown away today. I have to talk about this a little bit. We knew we were going to be putting this out a little bit later this week. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be, like, inclement weather.
Yeah, we live an hour and a half from each other.
We don't.
I don't know if that's known.
Yeah, we don't really live super close to each other. There was just, you know, stuff happened and... I'm really personally proud of our upload schedule.
Yeah, I am.
The fact that it's taken us 23 episodes to have any kind of like significant delay, I think I'm kind of proud of. You
I'm
know what I mean?
Proud.
Like, because you usually hear like sometimes podcasts are they'll skip a day or they'll delay for a week or they'll
or
take a break
not
or
continue on
or just they'll stop and sometimes that happens and I don't know. I think that we've been doing fantastic. And so to kind of announce today was a little bit like, I was a little nervous about it. But then people over on Facebook were just like, dude, we understand.
We get it.
Y'all have stuff going, you know, and everybody was so sweet and understanding. And we've got the best community.
It's a good one. Go join it.
Go join it. This has been The Witch. Sure.
Left a good job in the city.